said, amen, amen. Good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. I got to tell you, every time I hear that good gospel singing like that, I remember where God brought me from, where he would have been, where I would have been had it not been for the grace of God. And I can tell you right now, God has been good to me. And every time, you know, I get up and be able to come down here to, with you and to worship in spirit and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you take to find the place. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and if you're able to stand, we're going to be looking there in about verse number 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 11. He said, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, so ye believe. I hope you've been a believer this morning. Now Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is vain, also vain, and ye are found false witnesses of God, because that we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. Now, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We ask you to save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this subject, but now is Christ risen. I will tell you, when you look at the empty tomb, buddy, he's not there, he's risen. We live in a day and an hour, you know, that the Bible said over in the book of Romans chapter number 1 about verse number 4 is that he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, we ought to have some conversation about what our need is and what he provided for us on the old rugged cross. And whenever he was laid in the empty tomb and then rose again the third day according to the scripture. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this lesson this year, you'll find there was a controversy out there in the world like there is right now that did not believe in the resurrected Son of the living God. What they would do is that they were religious, but just going through the motion. But I got to tell you, we're not just going through the motions here this morning. We're talking about a risen Lord and Savior that died for your sins and mine and gave the sins of the world. I want to know, did you believe him when we preached about him? Then if you haven't, I hope you will. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, there's a passage over there, and don't lose your text, but over there in the book of Acts, in Acts in chapter number 4, and you're going to find out that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching and being preached in the day and hour of which they lived, you're going to find, did you know it grieved the rulers, the religious rulers of that day, it grieved them that the resurrection was being preached, Acts chapter 4, verse 2. And the Bible said, talking about the Sadducees, the captain, the priest, and all of that, verse 1, but being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You know, the devil don't like it being preached right now. That's the reason why he's tried to sidetrack and get some other thing. Over there in the book of Acts there, when we read that, there's a passage in chapter 12 that I want you to get ready to look at, and I want you to mark it. And the reason being is because is that, let me tell you, in this Bible lesson we're looking at in chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. I mean, you talk about the onslaught of hell coming against the church of the living God. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, and then were the days of unleavened bread.
And when he had apprehended him, he put him in a prison, and he delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter. It's the only time it appears in the Bible. And let me tell you right now, as you'll find the word Easter there, it ought to be just where it's at. The new versions of the Bible have changed it to Passover. That's not right. Passover is not right. The word Easter is a pagan holiday. And let me tell you right now, there was a man that was named Herod, and he was a God-cussing heathen, if you please, over Israel. And here's what you're going to find about them. You're going to find is that Peter, therefore, verse 5, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto the God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, I want you to watch this, and I want you to see is that in verse number 3 of this lesson that you're looking at, but because that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then were the days, plural, of unleavened bread. Did you know that by the time that verse number 3 is given, that the Passover's already gone? I mean, if you read over there in the book of Numbers in chapter number 28 and in verse number 16, let's just look there real quickly in the book of Numbers in chapter number 28, and we'll look at a couple of things there real quickly. Chapter 28, verse 16 in the book of Numbers. Now, I don't know about you, but we live in a day and an hour to where that the biggest thing that's going on, while to us, we're preaching and celebrating the resurrected Christ, the world is trying to have a big Easter egg hunt, and I'm talking about Baptist churches all across the country. People are more interested in hunting. Did you notice what a lie that it is? Number one is, I've killed a few rabbits, but I've never seen one lay an egg. See? Never seen one lay an egg. If one could lay an egg, I'd get me two of them. But in the day we live in, you know, people are saying, I had a preacher tell me one time, was, well, you know, we're doing it for the kids, and we bring a lot of kids in, and as a result of that, you know, we give them all a track and get to meet sometime their mamas and their daddy. I said, so you're trying to build it on a lie? I don't mean it to be ugly, but I do mean it. I know it's going to sound ugly. Look in Numbers in chapter 28 at about verse number 16. And it said, in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And when you read that, it says, in the 15th day of this month is the feast of 7 days shall be unleavened bread be eaten. And in the first day shall be a holy convocation, no servile work done, so forth and on. Now, back over there in our Acts chapter number 12, and when we read that, you're going to find out that the 14th was the Passover. The 15th began days, plural, days of unleavened bread. And you're going to find out that when you study the subject and find out there's a day versus days that are plural, is that the Passover in verse number 3 had done come and gone. Now the days, plural, of unleavened bread are being put in. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, please, that when you look in over there in the book of Numbers and Judges, I want you to see a passage there. And Judges in chapter number 22. I'll give you a moment to be able to find that in the book of Luke chapter 22, Judges chapter number 2. And I want you to see a passage over there, if I can find it myself, as we look at it. And it's in the book of Judges, and it's in chapter number 2, as we get ready to read that. It's also, there's going to be a passage we're going to look at in the book of Luke, and in the book of 1 Samuel, if you will, please. Now, in the book of Judges, in chapter number 2, I want you to see, and I'll tell you who Herod was here in a moment, and who the world has gone hog wild nuts after. And here's what you look at in Judges chapter number 2 and about verse number 13. And the Bible says, verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods and the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them. They provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth. Do you know who that is? That's the same false god that Herod was a worshiper of over there in his Easter festival in the book of Acts. And it'll take you too long to be able to dig all that up now, but you can jot it down and dig it up later. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that you'll find that God is interested in the book of 1 Samuel. There's a passage over there that we ought to look at it. And it's in chapter number 7, if I remember right, and it's in about verse number 3. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, and Samuel spake and all of the house of Israel, saying, if you do return to the Lord with all of your heart and put away the strange gods, and notice in Ashtaroth, there's who Herod worshipped, Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine. And the children of Israel put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and they serve the Lord only. Now, if you're a good Baptist, you're going to try to reconcile the two of them together. But I want to tell you, Israel couldn't reconcile them. Did you know who was the king? His name was Herod over there when we read in the New Testament in the book of Acts. And let me tell you who he was. He was a Roman Idumean. And what he did was, you'll find out, he was an Edomite. And listen, he was anti-God, he was anti-Bible, he was anti-everything good, right, moral, and decent. He was against the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, we live in a world that's a whole lot like that right now. Now, if you don't believe that's true, sometimes if you took a real good, strong stand and said, listen, we're going to go to church, worship the Lord in spirit and truth, but we're not coming out anymore to worship this Ashtaroth. You watch how it affects your family. It won't be long, and it won't just be old Dennis that's the blackbird of the family. It'll be you. And let me tell you, it doesn't bother me for people that want to do whatever they want to do. You know what I'm telling you? My job's not to be able to regulate what you do. My job's to tell you what God said about it, what you're involved in, so forth and on. The rest of it belongs to you, between you and God. So as a result of that, when you begin to look into it, make no apologies for me, or make no excuses for me. Hey, here's what God said in the Bible. And let God be true, and every man a liar. In this Bible lesson here that you're looking at, do you realize to know that if you were to study some of the history of ancient Babylonianism, that you'll find out that they believed that there was a star that fell from heaven, and it produced a giant egg, and they removed it from water and shoved it ashore, and it hatched out and made a damnable doctrine. Now, that's a study of ancient Babylonianism. I don't have time to go through all of that. You know, I've got at least two books in my library. Yeah, I've got probably $4,000 or $5,000 worth of books in my library. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, you're going to find out is that some of those old-timers way back when, they would nail it right on down, and let me tell you where the rubber meets the road. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, there ought to be a conversation every now and again about what God says in the Bible concerning the resurrected Lord and Savior. You know, all the world's ever done to try to get something involved with church and church. The world's not interested in the church, never has been. It's not right now. Brother David taught on that this morning, is that a man that was rich, had everything you could ever want, was a positive thinker, died, went to hell, and lifted up his eyes in torments, plural. A poor man by the name of Lazarus was laying at his gate begging for crumbs to fall from his table. And let me tell you right now, he also died and went and was carried by the angels of God into Abraham's bosom. Now, you're either going to go to hell And the choice is going to be up to you after you've heard the message. I got to say to you, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you'll find the Bible said in the book of Romans in chapter number 6, for if we have been planted together in his likeness, we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection, of his death. I got to tell you right now, if you want to be saved by the grace of God, you better believe what God said and ask God to give you the grace to believe it. And that is a resurrected Savior. You know, if Jesus hadn't resurrected from the dead, then our message would be a lie. That's what Paul said. Our faith would be vain, and there'd be no hope for you. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And I got to tell you right now, I'm glad he is resurrected. I came to know him in the free pardon of sin. I used to, when I grew up, and I listened to I've listened to a lot of preachers in days gone by. Mom and Daddy took me to church, Sunday school, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. All that, I had a many a knot knocked on my head because I got tired of sitting there listening to a business meeting and all that business there. And one time I hollered out, helping them, I make a motion, we adjourn. And when I got up off the floor, I didn't make any more motions. But I want to tell you right now, as the preacher was dead, the congregation was dead. And make no mistake about it, I'm glad to be able to report, like they just got through singing, that he is very much alive. Amen. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out, over in the book of Matthew, don't turn there, but in chapter number 12, the Bible said about verse number 40, as Jonas was 3 days and nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And I'll tell you right now, is that whenever he bowed his head and said it's finished, 3 days later he resurrected victoriously, gloriously from death and hell and the grave. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that Jesus, while he was alive, over in the book of John, chapter number 2, about verse number 19, is that the Lord Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple, talking about the temple of his body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And people that were listening to him said, well, this thing's been 46 years in building, and you're going to raise it up. See, they had their eyes on the wrong temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. And I got to tell you right now, you're going to find out, is that Jesus said over in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And let me tell you, if you don't know Christ, you don't have life. And if you do know Christ, you not only have life, but it's everlasting. And I'm looking forward to the time when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shall come again. The message has always grieved the religious but lost crowd. They're looking for another game to play. They're looking for another gimmick to be able to work at their direction and all of that. I've had some people in all the 50 years, I don't like to ever make a statement about some of the congregation, because you go to thinking I'm talking about right now. Well, I ain't talking about right now. I've got lots of people that's as sorry as a bunch as that we could talk about right now. You ain't got an amen. I know when I'm right. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that you're going to find out is that he's been declared by the power of God to be the Son of the living God, and it's by holiness and by his resurrection from the dead. There's always been a lot of controversy over the Lord and over the Savior Jesus Christ. I begin to think about in this lesson, I can't tell you in 50 years how many people have called me up on the phone for a special occasion, like revival time. We put it in the paper and we didn't invite people to come, and every now and again somebody called. Graduation time, we was having dinner at the church or a supper, whatever it was. Somebody called up, boy, I'd like to come. Is there going to be any preaching? I said, unless the Lord comes. If the Lord comes, there won't be any preaching. But you can have my car, and you can have all the food, and you can do whatever you want to do. Are you serious? Would you be willing to put that into writing? See how deluded the world's thinking is. Listen, sir, if the Lord were to come and take us all out and leave you behind, what a sad commentary that would be upon you. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, why would a person be afraid of preaching? It's a thing that'll save you and snatch you as a brand from the burning. In this lesson here, I'll think of somebody more local that's been in the last, 10 years. Let's just say 10, 15 years. I was going to tell you how some of these people are. Have you ever noticed how that they will take advantage of you sometime and try to make you think they've done you a favor by taking advantage of you? See? Have you ever had somebody that claimed going to help you, but you could tell they had a slanted opinion and it was slanted their direction? It's always like that. I had some of them old farmers over in Louisiana. And see, you can relax because you don't know none of them. And their daddy-in-law would try to take advantage of them and try to make them feel good about the fact that they were able to be took advantage of by such high-quality advantage takers. We live in a world like that. Oh, I've done you a favor. I've done you a favor, you know. I got to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is not pulling any fast one like that on you. If you'll come to him as an empty-handed beggar and confess him, he'll save your soul and snatch you as a brand from the burning, and you'll be saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. There's always been a controversy over Christ. And let me tell you right now is, when you look at the coffin, it's empty. I'm glad it's empty, because he told us about what all would be if it was not empty, if he hadn't resurrected from the tomb. You know, if you read over in the book of Colossians, is that the morning of the resurrection, the imps of hell, the devil and all his angels tried to keep him down and tried to hold him and keep him from resurrecting. But he threw him off as a garment would be thrown. And victoriously, gloriously resurrected from the grave. That's our Lord and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. If he's not your Lord and Savior, he can be. He'll not force his way in on you, but he can be if you'd like to be able to miss hell and make heaven and go to heaven. And if not, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be like the man that I started telling you a while ago. And then I got sidetracked. So let me tell you about him now. He came for a long time listening to the word of the Lord. And he said, well, you know, I don't want to make a profession and go through the motions like a lot of people that I know, because I feel like they're hypocrites. They live worse than I do. They lie, cheat, connive, commit adultery, fornication, drink liquor, and all that business there. And so I just don't want to get involved in the church because of so many people like that I feel like are hypocrites. I said, there's not anything we can do about them, but there's something that you can do about your own life's condition. Made a profession to baptize him right here. 7 years later, he decides he wants to get back out. It's too hot in here for him. He likes to party. And as a result of that, he comes in there to my office. And as a result, he says, hey, it's going to be hard for me to leave. And all of that bit, I said, where are you going to be going to church? Well, I hadn't decided yet. God don't work that way. God don't pull you up out of a church without having a church to put you in. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. I said, do you remember telling me about all the hypocrites you knew in church? And that's why you didn't want to go. Now that hypocrite's going to be you. From what you're telling me, you are going to be that hypocrite. I didn't make a lot of brownie points and all that business there. He would have rather that I would have went ahead and had some eggs hid so he could find them. Instead, he laid an egg that nobody wanted to find. I just wonder here this morning, how do you feel about the resurrection of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ? I appreciate the good bulletin that we've got that exalts and magnifies the Lord and that wishes you a happy resurrection day. I hope everywhere you go today that you can say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're alive, and because of you and the grace of God, I'm alive. And I'm looking forward with great anticipation to when he comes again. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, as we get ready to leave here, there may be somebody that you wanted to pound upon their heart and show them that personally that you're dealing with them about their soul's condition. I pray the Lord that somehow or another, if there's one lost without God, they might come to know you in the free pardon of sin this very day. I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me when you knocked upon my heart's door to receive you in the free pardon of sin and to be born into the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. Thy word is truth. And Lord, I thank you for hiding it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, and that we might teach transgressors thy ways. Now bless every family represented here today, and be with those that could not be.